This is Dave Gloetz. I'm here with the Chicago Reader's Ben Jarofsky. Are you ready to throw it down?
Yes, sir.
Today we're talking about your column titled Less is More at CPS.
Aha.
Which appeared in the Chicago Reader on May 27th, 2010. This article is sort of a continuation, I guess, of your previous exposés on the amount of money paid to administrators at the Chicago Public Schools headquarters, and go into a little more depth about who these people are and how much individually they make.
Mm-hmm.
So you were able to get this information from a Chicago Public Schools database that Chicago Public Schools gave you. In what form did they give it to you?
Momentarily stumped by that question because that's like a computer question.
So it was actually a computer database.
Yes. And the good news, if this news is good, is that they announced, I believe it was yesterday, right after my article came out, they announced that they were going to make this same database available to the universe, and they're putting it on their website. I don't know if they've done that yet, but they announced that they will do that. So a triumph for mankind.
That was actually going to be my next question, whether you had plans to do that, but they saved you the trouble.
Well, I believe the Reader already had done that, so they figured, well, it looked pretty bad if the Reader has done this and we haven't. So this has been going on for a while now. We, Mick Dumke and I, wrested the TIF shadow budget from the city of Chicago with a FOIA request, and then we put it on our website, and so then the city responded by putting it on their website, because I guess it does look kind of bad that, you know, somehow or other this is public information that's been not being made available to the public.
So it is available at the Chicago Reader website.
Yes, sir.
It's probably linked from your article online,
I'm guessing. Yeah, it is.
You identify a bunch of highly paid Chicago Public Schools administrators who came from City of Chicago departments. My sources tell me that it's quite common that when city workers who, for some reason, have to leave the city and they're clouded, they somehow end up at well-paying jobs at CPS or even at the CTA. Did the information you get give you any sort of indication of, you know, jobs that people came from, or is just simply what they get paid and start date and stuff like that?
It's a good question. The answer is no. Essentially, what I did was I arranged the salaries by two categories. One, chronology, when the people got the job, and two, by the amount they made. So by doing those two things, I was able to identify the high-paying people who came aboard during Huberman's regime. And so then I went back to board press releases where they were trumpeting some of these appointments, and I saw where they had come from. So the sort of exhaustive across the board, no pun intended, survey of 43,000 or however many employees there are, I've not done. But yeah, you told me this before, and actually, I can't remember the lady's name, but you told me about a woman who was moved from City Hall to the Chicago Public Schools, and I found her on
Andrew Gomberg, you mentioned her in the article.
Yeah, that's a Dave Gloetz tip.
Yeah, I'm thinking it'd be interesting for me to take a look at some of the people I know who have departed and then go through the database.
Well, you should. You know, my contention has been from the get-go that there have not been significant cuts at the central office, that in fact, Huberman got rid of people that he had no need for politically and replaced them with his own cronies. So the net effect is we're probably paying as much, if not more, in central office salaries at this critical crisis moment than we were before he took over.
I've heard from a bunch of people I know who work for Chicago Public Schools, mostly teachers, who are calling you a hero and other and similar, you know, accolades. Are you hearing from people as a result of this article? You heard from CPS folks?
I'm not called a hero by many people in this city, but my efforts have, I have to admit, been appreciated by teachers who are facing, you know, they're on the front lines. I can't think of a more important position in the public schools than teachers, and yet they're the ones who are facing these mass firings. The state of the teacher career is abysmal right now, not just in Chicago, but throughout the country. But Chicago makes it worse with all this political wrangling. Charter schools in which you're just completely beholden to your principal and you could just be fired without cause, or contract schools, the movement to strip teachers of tenure rights rooted in the notion that somehow or other everything that's wrong with schools is a result of bad teaching and that everything can be eradicated if we just allow these superhero teachers to come in, as though such a creature actually exists. There's just sort of this myth of the great teacher.
Speaking of teachers, I'm thinking about teachers as whistleblowers. You know, there's this guy, Daniel Ellsberg. He exposed the Pentagon Papers in the early 70s, and he was a Defense Department employee, and he thought this secret Pentagon document about the war in Vietnam should be exposed, and so he did expose it. And he still appears on the radio and says things like, you know, he urges existing federal government employees to become whistleblowers or to be leakers, you know, to do the same thing that he did, because he knows that there's waste and corruption in the U.S. military and in the federal government. Has anyone stepped forward as a result of your articles in CPS to say, hey, look at the stuff I've got here. Check this out.
Yes, there have. And the people who are currently employees have asked that they remain anonymous. And then there's people who have been fired who aren't as concerned about anonymity, although most of them request to be anonymous as well. So yes, people have stepped forward and they've told me about all sorts of egregious acts of waste, which I'm looking into and will probably write about in the coming months. You know, we have the summer. The thing about writing about the schools in the summer is I feel as though nobody's paying attention. So I may hold off on some more of these school stories until September. I go in cycles, I think, Dave. I was doing a lot of school stories in the 80s and the 90s, and I haven't really done that many in the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, but I guess it really burned me that they got rid of sophomore sports. You know, I just coming on the heels of the Olympic effort, it was just symbolic of the misplaced priorities in this town. And so it rekindled my interest.
So they ticked you off, and now you're going to go after them.
They shouldn't have. I told them, I said, you should not get rid of sophomore sports. And
don't make me come over there.
Don't get BJ mad.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that. Ben Jarofsky, the Chicago Reader, thanks for joining me today.
Take care.
This is Dave Gloetz. You've been listening to the rest of the story. When you get a chance, check back at MrRadio.org for further installments or subscribe to our podcast. Thanks for listening.